A former Maine attorney who was allegedly framed by police and later convicted of felony possession of 6 marijuana cigarettes more than 50 years ago has received a posthumous pardon from Governor Janet Mills. Donna Gellers was a fierce advocate and defender of Passamaquoddy tribal members. His legendary mistreatment by the state's judicial system has been the subject of extensive reporting by Colin Woodard in the Maine Sunday Telegram. And as Susan Sharon reports, a pardon was Gellers' dying wish.
Governor Mills says the posthumous pardon is believed to be the first in Maine history. Donald Gellers died in 2014 at the age of 78. Pardons, which officially forgive individuals for their crimes, are intended to be reserved for those who have done extraordinary things with their personal and professional lives, especially after their convictions. And in an emotional news conference, Mills, a former prosecutor and Maine Attorney General, says Gellers' lifetime record of doing good for others put him firmly in that category.
While this pardon cannot undo the many adverse consequences that this conviction had upon Mr. Gellers' life, it can bestow the formal forgiveness for his violation of law, and it can remove the stigma of that conviction.
Gellers was a young Jewish attorney from New York when he arrived in rural Washington County, Maine in the 1960s and set up a law office in Eastport. Within a few years, he'd made a name for himself as a champion for the Passamaquoddy tribe. He campaigned for civil rights, including recognition by the federal government, challenged abuses by police and child welfare agents, and sought justice for a tribal elder who was beaten to death by 5 white hunters from Massachusetts. He also became the catalyst for the historic 1980 land claims settlement that awarded Maine tribes $81.5 million in reparation for land that was taken from them.
I think without Don Gellers, we wouldn't have been able to have a voice.
Dwayne Toma is a member of the Passamaquoddy tribe who spoke on Gellers' behalf at a hearing before the governor's pardon board in October.
We would have been basically under the entire control of the state government and federal government. So he really, really is instrumental in bringing attention to the rights that were being violated.
Gellers' arrest in March 1968 took place just days after he returned from Massachusetts to file the original Indian land claims case. In his 29-part Maine Sunday Telegram series, Unsettled, Colin Woodard writes that Gellers had become a target well before that, but the lawsuit sealed his fate. He returned home one night to find several people in his house, including a state police detective posing as a Boston gangster. Woodard says it was part of an elaborate sting.
By the time Don Gellers returned to Eastport from filing the suit against, in effect, against Maine and in court in Boston, a command post had been set up for several days or maybe weeks by some accounts in Eastport, headed by an assistant attorney general, John Kelly, and including several state troopers.
Gellers and a housemate, Al Cox, were handcuffed and charged with felony possession of 6 marijuana cigarettes. Mills notes that even the chief of the Maine State Police said at the time that a felony charge for small personal possession was so severe it was difficult to get proper adjudication. Gellers was convicted of one of the 3 counts and sentenced to 2 to 4 years imprisonment, a sentence that was never pursued by the state. Gellers was also disbarred from practicing law in Maine. Meanwhile, his co-defendant was released on $500 bail.
I was surprised that the judge didn't throw out the conviction as a result of my testimony. And I thought that Gellers got a really raw deal.
Harvey Silverglate is a Boston-based attorney who says back in 1968, he was working on another case in Bangor when he ran into Assistant Attorney General John Kelly at the courthouse. They got to talking, went out for dinner, and Silverglate says Kelly confided to him the details of what was essentially a conspiracy to arrest Don Gellers.
He didn't tell me who had, at least I don't remember him telling me, who had engineered this plan, but they wanted to get rid of Don Gellers.
And Silverglate says the reason was that Gellers was becoming too effective a litigator for the Passamaquoddy tribe. Silverglate says he was surprised by the admission and later testified on Gellers' behalf during a motion for a new trial. Kelly, who is now a member of the governor's pardon board, has told Colin Woodard that he cannot recall such a discussion with Silverglate. Governor Mills declined to call what happened to Gellers a conspiracy, but she did say this.
Many have long claimed that a motivation to arrest Mr. Gellers was not just to enforce the state's criminal laws, but also to thwart his outspoken political and legal advocacy. Well, after reviewing the historic record of this case and all the documents we could find, I feel there's merit to that claim.
After his conviction, Gellers emigrated to Israel, where he served as an officer in the Israeli army. In 1977, he was admitted to practice law in Israel after a review of the circumstances surrounding his main conviction. He then studied to become a rabbi and later moved back to New York to teach in a synagogue. When he died in 2014, the Machias Valley News Observer wrote that few in Maine history have paid as high a price as Don Gellers for persevering against the highest odds to do the right thing in the pursuit of justice. Colin Woodard, who interviewed Gellers for his series, says it's a tragedy that he never lived to see his full pardon.
Don Gellers was somebody who was extremely passionate about, you know, truth and justice and confronting wrongdoing. And so I'm sure that this would have been very nice for him to have witnessed.
Attorney Robert Checkaway, who represented Gellers' family in the pardon process, said Gellers' wish for a pardon became his dying wish. In a written statement, Checkaway said he's grateful that the corrected historical record will now reflect that Don Gellers was a courageous advocate for civil rights and not an outlaw. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.